WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Winnebago County Executive Gordon Hintz proposes funding the Homeless Eviction and Loss Prevention, or HELP, program in the county through property taxes. The grant that initially supported the program has expired, and Hintz seeks to ensure program stability by funding it in the 2026 executive budget while the county applies for additional grants to support it. A press release from Hintz's office said that since launching in 2022, HELP has worked with hundreds of households facing eviction or housing loss. 74% of the families helped since then have left the program with stable housing. The County Board of Supervisors will consider the 2026 executive budget Monday, October 27th at 6 p.m. The pool at Jefferson Park in Menasha is now permanently closed. Built in 1959, the pool is almost 70 years old and needs numerous repairs, totaling up to $500,000 to reopen safely. Meanwhile, the city approved the funds last year to enter into the design phase for a new pool, which will eventually cost the city between $10 and $15 million. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is sharing tips with residents to highlight National Teen Driver Safety Week. According to a press release, traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for teens in the United States. Wisconsin saw nearly 19,000 crashes involving teen drivers last year, leading to 70 fatalities and nearly 6,000 injuries. DOT officials are reminding parents that proper training and practice for young drivers is crucial for safety, and the DMV's online teen portal offers various resources for driver safety programs. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
A Brewers promotion. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers held their end-of-season press conference. The team announcing GM Matt Arnold has been promoted to the team president of baseball operations. Arnold asked about the future of pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who was unable to perform in the postseason. He would only say a decision is coming in the offseason. Game one of the World Series is tonight in L.A., the Dodgers against the Blue Jays. Basketball, the NBA rocked by the arrest of former player and now head coach of the Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups, and 30 others allegedly involved in an illegal gambling operation. The FBI says it has ties to the mob. The Bucks are on the road tonight. They play the Raptors in Toronto. NFL, Packers and the Steelers Sunday night. I'll have coverage from Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers telling us he looks forward to returning to Green Bay.
You know, my football career starts and will end one day with Green Bay. So I got a lot of love for all those memories and a lot of great friends that I still carry with me to this day.
With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Cam Yonke.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 50 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop into the mid to upper 30s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high right around 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chris Mays of Clearly Confused Entertainment, and it's a bar band Friday night featuring Terry Barr's Max Inc. radio co-host, Rocker. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS. Home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin on WISS and the Civic Media app. Real news, great conversation.
Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, 7:06. Nice to have you back here on a Friday morning. It's October 24th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Madison right now, let's see, it's 28 degrees. 28 degrees, Madison, right now. It's 23 here in the Chippewa Valley. It is 23 right now in Hayward, 32 in Wausau, 30 in Oshkosh. And coming up this hour, we will have our Week in Review panel, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, along with journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. We got things to talk about, you know, like the complete destruction of the White House East Wing. We've got a president who's bombing boats in both oceans, probably without legal justification on that. We've got plenty of other things to talk about as well. There's the whole government shutdown and whether anything is changing on that front. So all of that still to come. And then 1 hour from now, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be dropping in, I believe, from Pittsburgh, where she was attending a conference. And by a pleasant coincidence, that's also where the Packers are playing this weekend against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so she will be reporting on heading to the game to see the Packers taking on Aaron Rodgers for the first time. Of course, she's already put into the rotation someplace here on one of these computers lying around Civic Media, the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. And you can hear that tomorrow at noon across the Civic Media radio network, or you can follow as a podcast. Subscribe over at Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. But as for the Packer game against the Steelers, well, coverage will begin Sunday at 5 p.m. Remember, it's a Sunday night game. Kickoff is at 7:20. And so you've got coverage beginning at 5 o'clock on some of the stations of the Civic Media radio network. And then tonight, there's Badger men's basketball, an exhibition game against Oklahoma at Milwaukee's Fiserv Forum. Coverage will begin at 6:30 tonight on stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. Again, civicmedia.us to learn more. From WIS Politics comes word of another potential candidate for Congress up north here in the 7th Congressional District. Again, WIS Politics with the story that says that former Republican State Senator Dewey Strobel, who has represented the legislature from the Milwaukee suburbs, tells WIS Politics that he's been approached and has been having conversations about running in the 7th CD. Strobel says he's had a home in the 7th CD for nearly 25 years. Now, I don't know if that's a cabin, if it's a full-on second home, vacation home, but he's had some kind of property in the 7th CD for 25 years. And so he says he's getting calls from people interested in seeing him run for the seat that's going to be vacated by Tom Tiffany, who is now running for governor. Strobel says, quote, "I think I'm a proven conservative that stays true to their values that are important, frankly, throughout the state. if he runs, it would be the second time Dewey Strobel's run for Congress after he unsuccessfully sought a spot in the 5th Congressional District, you know, where he lives, in Saukville. Whether folks in the 7th Congressional District would take kindly to somebody, you know, coming up from the Milwaukee suburbs and saying, I'm here to be your congressman, remains to be seen. But again, things are much more fluid in the 7th District right now. There are people who, you know, have expressed interest in running on the Republican side. There is an announcement on the Democratic side. Fred Clark, former legislator, is running for Congress up there now in the 7th District, which, again, is a, but it's a gerrymandered district to begin with. And again, that's my fault for the Republicans gerrymandering the maps to protect Sean Duffy when I ran against him in 2012. So it is a heavier Republican district than it used to be when Dave Obie was representing it for 40 some years. But you now have a president with historically low favorability numbers and the potential for midterm elections that really don't go well for the party in power. Traditionally, they don't go well for the party that's in the White House. Now, again, in this era of Citizens United and corporate money flooding in, you know, all bets are off. But the way that things stand right now, that district should no longer be considered unwinnable by a Democrat. Frankly, any district shouldn't. Think back to 2006, when there was a similar Democratic wave, when people were very frustrated with George W. Bush and the war in Iraq. And suddenly you had legislative districts flip in Wisconsin that hadn't flipped in 80 to 90 years, where people said that, you know, the party in power has been there just a little too long, getting a little too full of themselves, too big for their britches, and voters made a change. And that very well could be happening next time as well. But again, we got to see who the candidates are. And that's where I put out this caveat as well. Anybody can say they're running for office at this point. You don't actually become a candidate with your name on the ballot until sometime next year. To get on the ballot, it's a process of collecting signatures on petitions. They're called nominating petitions. You go to door to door, or you know, you wrangle people as they're coming out of the grocery store and say, here, will you sign this petition? It doesn't mean you're going to vote for that person. It just means you're signing this petition that says, yep, you could be on the ballot. And then if you get enough signatures, and there have been candidates in the past who say they're running for something and then failed to collect enough signatures to qualify to get on the ballot. Those petitions can't even be circulated until, I believe, April 15th of next year. And I believe the deadline is June 1st of next year. So it's June 1st when we will really know who is going to be on the ballot and who won't. And of course, there will be a primary in August, again, August 11th of next year. And I can't stress enough the importance of keeping that August primary in mind. There are going to be, I would dare say, as many or more primaries, contested primaries, than we might have ever seen here, with congressional district primaries, legislative district primaries, and of course, primary for governor as well. So folks are either going to be looking for you to vote on August 11th or to take part in early voting, either in person at your clerk's office or voting by mail. And before you do all that, keep in mind that there are certain politicians out there that don't want you to have that right anymore. They want to strictly limit voting by mail. They want to get rid of convenience measures like absentee ballot drop boxes. Some politicians are even willing to move absentee ballot drop boxes to keep you from using them, it seems. So remember that next year, that when we get caught up in all of the political ads, and political ads will say all kinds of wild, wacky things, you know, stick to the fundamentals of what this person's record is, what this candidate's promises have been, and then make your decision accordingly. But again, up in the 7th district, the newest story there is the potential for a suburban Milwaukee legislator to say that he's going to be running up in northern Wisconsin. We've got some high school football playoff action on some Civic Media stations coming up later today, and then we've got Badger football coming up this Saturday. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock on several Civic Media stations before the Badgers take on Oregon. in a game on Saturday night. Then some other sports that you might not have heard about previously. The Badger women's hockey team, they will be playing at home in Madison at Laban Arena Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. They will be hosting Minnesota State Mankato. The Badger women's hockey team is now 8-0, the number one ranked team in the country. Five of those eight wins have been shutouts. The Badger women's volleyball team is 13-3, ranked ninth in the country, and they are playing out west late tonight. They're in Washington. They will take on the Huskies at 9 o'clock. You can catch that game on the Big Ten Network. The Milwaukee Bucks are in Toronto to take on the Raptors. 5:30 is the start time there. Guard Kevin Porter Jr. will miss the game with a sprained left ankle. And then finally, we have the World Series Game 1 tonight. It'll be the LA Dodgers hosting the Toronto Blue Jays starting on Friday. And so it's where we turn to noted baseball expert Parker Olson, who is not just a show producer, but is a prognosticator as well. LA Dodgers, we know what a juggernaut they look like. They going to take this thing, or is Toronto going to play the role of David versus Goliath?
I don't know. Hang on. We're not saying David versus Goliath here. They're both top five payrolls, Pat.
Okay.
All right.
Goliath versus Goliath Jr. How's that?
Thank you. I think it'll be really interesting to see if the Blue Jays bats can keep as hot as they've been. They've had some really big moments. I think they can probably I think they're going to win at least two games. I am hoping with all my being that they beat the Dodgers and win the World Series, because I cannot.
But realistically, you're saying Dodgers in six.
Probably.
Okay.
It makes me sad.
I know. Yes. It helps remove some of the pain of what the Brewers did. But yeah, for now, we're on Team Canada when it comes to this.
Yeah. I don't even care that the Brewers lost to the Dodgers. I just don't like the Dodgers as an organization.
Sure.
And it's weird to say that this year, because actually I think they have a lot of really likable guys this year. I think this is one of their more likable teams ever.
I like that you're so emotionally torn on the Dodgers. One moment you're channeling Kylo Ren. Yes, let the hate flow through you.
War!
Yeah. Other times it's like, oh, they're a cute little fluffy team. They bunch of lovable scamps, little Dodgers.
I like Shohei. I like Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
They don't have Manny Machado. That's a good thing.
That is very key that they don't have Manny Machado anymore. That does make them infinitely more likable as a result. So game one of the World Series will get started tonight. Coming up later today across the Civic Media Radio Network, Matt and Air on Air. We just had Greg Bach here. He and Jane Matt and Air will be along at 9 o'clock, and just after 10 o'clock, they will be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor. And I don't know what's on the docket, but based on Dan Schaefer's latest commentary, I sense that it might also include the forthcoming expansion project for I-94 going right through the middle of Milwaukee. Dan has been a longtime critic of the proposal to expand, to add another lane. You know, this whole notion of, you know, just paving your way to prosperity. Let's just add a you know, an eighth lane and a ninth lane, and maybe that'll finally do the trick. Dan has a lot to say about what our transportation system should look like around Wisconsin and specifically through the Milwaukee area. So be on the lookout for that. Then on the Maggie Dawn show later, coming up at 4 o'clock, she will be talking to State Senator Kristen Dassler Offheim, and they will be talking about the latest increases in price, the big increases in price coming to health insurance plans that are purchased on the marketplace through the Affordable Care Act. And she will talk a bit more about insurance coverage in Wisconsin. Are there things the legislature can do to make sure that insurance covers more things that it should? And then the whole crisis of insurance companies that are hiking prices because they're not getting the support that we used to get from Congress and the federal government. It's what's led to this shutdown that is continuing, that Republicans could end today if they just wanted to keep the rest of you and all Americans from experiencing huge spikes in health insurance premiums. They have the opportunity to do that, but would rather see pain inflicted, including sharply reduced SNAP benefits, and I've just written a story about that that you can find on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Our Week in Review panel is coming up here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Always a good time when you stop in at Ooga Brewing in Beaver Dam. Don't miss Fall Downtown Fest Saturday, October 25th, starting at 9 a.m. Spine-tingling excitement and family-friendly fun like the crazy casket races. As night falls, it's the Monster Bar Crawl. Take the trolley to Ooga for $6 zombie cocktails and a beautiful costume contest. Top prize is a gift basket worth $100. Ooga Brewing Company, 301 South Spring Street, part of Beaver Dam's vibrant downtown.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, I'm Lisa Hale, Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief. This is Valley Focus. Joining me today, I have Holly McGrady, who is the purchasing agent for the City of Oshkosh. Hello, Holly. A couple months ago, the city sent out a press release that said that Oshkosh was trying to encourage more local businesses. Mm-hmm. To respond to the RFPs or the request for proposals.
Request for bids, request for quotes.
Right. Yep. So tell me a little bit about that initiative.
Okay, so I brought a sample of what we send out to our vendors. And what you do is you register on DemandStar to receive any notifications that we have bids or quotations or requests for proposals out there for them to review. And if they want to bid on it, they can. And we are with Wisconsin Association of Public Procurement, and that's a statewide association which encompasses schools, counties, state, municipalities. And if they register on there under the WAPP, and it's all instructed here on the registration, it's free for them. They just have to pick us as the municipality that they want to receive bids from.
So if you only wanted to receive bids from Oshkosh, you go in, you register, you set everything up, and you select Oshkosh. And that's free just for one.
That's free for just one. If you wanted multiples, then you would have to pay. And DemandStar is, like a lot of sites are, for any type of vendor, contractor, whatever. If you want to receive bids that they house, there is a fee. But our WAPP was able to work out a nice agreement with DemandStar, and it continues on with UNA now.
That's good. So I have a business here in Oshkosh selling, let's say, widgets. And you guys have said, oh, you know what? We need to buy some widgets. So would this be the opportunity for this person to put in their bid to sell you a bunch of widgets right there on that site?
Yes. If we have a request for quote out there, absolutely, yes. Fill out the document, whether it be a quote or a bid. They're both done a little bit differently. And send it in. And then what we do is we review all of them. And the most, usually it's low bid, right? But we also look at the qualifications and if the item is what we were looking for. Sometimes there's deviations that people will send in a bid. And if it just doesn't meet the criteria, because our bids are based by minimum bid, then that low bid wouldn't work. So then we go to the next low.
So what are the types of things that people will find when they go and they, you know, as a business, sign up for DemandStar?
Sure. We have a variety of things. So we'll have requests for proposals for playground equipment. We will do bids for HVAC replacement and repair, roofing replacement and repair. Sometimes it's just an item that we need. It could be accessories for trucks that we're putting together that are part of our fleet.
So this would be a thing for not only merchandisers, but service providers. So plumbers, electricians,
yes.
People who work on roofs, like you said.
And when I started many years ago, we were mailing out bids. So you would, you know, you'd have to get a hold of the vendor. Where should I mail it to? And then you hope that they would get it on time and get it to us on time because we have deadlines for all the quotes and bids and RFPs. And then when we found, we had a different provider many years ago, and they were kind of going out of that business of having the bids posted. And we were at a WAPP conference, and DemandStar showed up, and they were, you know, telling us all about them. And I was like, this is perfect for us. And the great thing about DemandStar is, I'm sure just like, is it not only reaches the state of Wisconsin, but there are other contractors, no matter what they sell or provide of service, that will also register on DemandStar. And so you might get that one new vendor in there that you never heard of before, and they're perfect for the job. The bid was, you know, their bid was low, and it works out great for the city.
Does this make it easier for you to get the bids? And does it also make it easier for the vendors to place their bids?
Yes, I believe it makes it easier for everybody. And it's a great opportunity for both the city and the vendors. So we get our bids together. I load it up as a PDF. I pick the commodities that it belongs to. So they have commodities in there. And it could hit 600 people, it could hit 400 people. And certain bids we have to publicize in the paper if they're public construction. So then they also see it too in the paper, and then other papers will see it and put it in their paper. So it gets out there in a good way for everybody.
When I got the press release at the top, it said Oshkosh wants to buy local. So when you get your bids in, does local play a part in who you just... No, it's the lowest bid.
It's the lowest bid. And I think the reason why we did that is we do buy local already. Like every day we're at Menards, we're at Fleet Farms, Kits and File, Nofke Lumber. You know, we are purchasing the smaller things that you don't need to go out for bid for or a quote. You're daily to keep the services going. But we wanted to make sure that the Gartmans of the world, which we do business with, or maybe a new company is in town, a new electric, you know, company or something like that, that can, or plumber or whatever the case may be, maybe they don't know. They don't know anything about municipality purchasing. And we wanted to put that out there to let them know we are looking for vendors. You know, when we put our bids out, we want to receive bid. And it's a great satisfaction when we do get like 8 bids or whatever the case may be. So we know we are reaching people.
That's Holly McGrady, the purchasing agent for the City of Oshkosh. To register your business as a vendor, go to demandstar.com/registration. And when you go through the process, choose the City of Oshkosh as your free agency. For WISS News and Valley Focus, I'm Lisa Hayes.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report. The pandemic may have been bleak for many of us, but for two UW-Platteville researchers, it provided a spark that inspired them to find a marketplace for spoiled milk. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. That story next.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer Brand Power Core and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, Power Core and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Whether it's the sound of the carnival or the taste of the cotton candy or your first blue ribbon, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to offer cash prizes for your fair stories. Entries are being accepted all summer long and there is no limit, so tell us all of your stories. To enter and see full contest details, visit MidwestFarmReport.com.
Dr. Joseph Wu, Associate Professor of Chemistry, and Dr. John Obalata, Chair of Mechanical and Industrial Engineering at UW-Platteville, found inspiration during the pandemic. While dairy farmers were forced to dump their milk because of processing shortfalls during the pandemic, it inspired the two to collaborate on taking that spoiled milk and turning it into a value-added product that can be used in 3D printing. Dr. Joseph Wu explains.
One category that strikes me is to help the farmer to improve the economy of the dairy farmers. And that just perfectly matches what we are looking for. We really want to make this project work so that in the future, we do not need to dump milk to the field anymore. We might be able to recover, recycle, reuse those material for good purpose.
That's Dr. Joseph Wu, Associate Professor of Chemistry, along with his partner, Dr. John Obalata, the Chair of the Mechanical and Industrial Engineering Department on the UW-Platteville campus. They have come up with a patented process to convert casein and whey into durable, flexible materials that are suitable for 3D printing and beyond. Dr. Obalata tells me that the 3D printing industry today, worth about $20 billion, they hope Wisconsin dairy can get at least a slice of that action. That's one of the funded projects that will be highlighted during the Wisconsin Dairy Innovation Hub's free summit Tuesday, November 18th on the UW River Falls campus with virtual elements. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke. Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 50 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop into the mid to upper 30s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high right around 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Across the state of Wisconsin, people have concerns, to say the least, about Badger football. Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion and NFL vet, will be here to discuss it at our favorite fall event. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Our Week in Review panel coming up in just a bit, and then in the next hour, Dr. Kristen Lyerly and also Mike Clemens will join us to talk a little sports. Next week on the program, we'll talk to Lucy Ripp from A Better Wisconsin Together. We'll talk to Jim Renicki from the Friends of the Apostle Islands. We'll talk to Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner, and we'll visit with Ingrid Kundinger, sorry, didn't have her last name in front of me here, Ingrid Kundinger with the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. There are all kinds of folks who are having to find new Medicare Advantage plans because their current ones are being dropped. And so we'll talk more about the resources that are available in finding a new Medicare plan for yourself, or maybe you are a caregiver or an adult child to a parent. So that will be coming up, all those guests and more, next week. All right, I'm joined once again by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze. And Mark, we're going to start with you because your latest Stop the Presses newsletter has the title, My Exclusive Trump-Era Tour Inside the Media's Brain, What Were America's Journalists Thinking? I Have Strong Suspicions. It's a very fascinating timeline that captures the collective thought of the national media. Tell us more.
Yeah, it was. I was trying to explain the whole media evolution here. You know, how the media was fascinated by Trump and you know, in the 2016 and 2015, and they were using it, you know, to get a Trump bump. You know, if you remember, you know, the CBS CEO declared it may not be good for America, but it's damn good for CBS. You know, and how the media then, you know, became aghast that the American public was embracing all these bigoted comments and crazy comments by Trump, that they won. And then the media said it's not our fault that he won. And I was just trying to get through the whole mindset of then being bored by Biden and not, there's no Biden bump. And so they wanted, you know, and the idea that the media is only out for itself, you know, in a lot of ways. And the way I did it was I kind of imagined, you know, the old movie Fantastic Voyage or Inner Space, where people shrink themselves and go inside a human body. And in the same way, I was, you know, exploring the media's brain, you know, and so, you know, and having worked in the media for 40 years, I think I have a pretty good idea of why the media does bad things.
Yeah, well, it explains it so well in just a whole bunch of short little statements, like, you know, 2015, Trump is running for president. We'll cover him as a carny show. 2016, Trump just invited the Russians to interfere in our elections. He's kidding, right? 2018, let's not call his lies lies. That'll make us look mean. 2020, Trump is lying about COVID, but let's save it for the book. Just all these little short statements that capture so perfectly where the national media was going with this and why so many of us were tearing out our hair in the process.
And it's still happening.
Now, that's still happening. Yes. Well, I didn't want to scroll down too far because I thought it might depress me with a spoiler alert. But again, for the whole thing, stopthepresses.news. And Jennifer, we laugh only to mask the pain of watching so many national newsrooms do exactly the kinds of things Mark is talking about.
Well, I told Mark how much I appreciated his column, but that it also really depressed me.
Yes.
but I do think there's a value in seeing the history laid out that way and a reminder. Like, we know generally, right, the we don't like a lot of things about how Trump is covered. But then when you see it year by year or for 10 years, you know, it's like a kick in the head again, like, geez. Right? Because we do live in sort of short attention span a short attention span world right now. And so I really like what Mark did, and it left me just a puddle on the floor.
The short attention span could not capture it better, because just early this morning, I saw a report about how all these rich guys and hedge funds are trying to raise money from one another to help feed the hungry around the world. Well, we had something doing that, USAID, right. But that's like in the distant past now. The outrage has completely settled down, even as people continue starving to death as a result of it. But we always have to move on to the next thing. In fact, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, the next thing hit us, you know, this week with Trump giving another one of his pardons to criminals, to which I again say, parenthetically, elect a criminal as president, expect the other criminals to be freed from the prison and other people to take their place who are not criminals. But anyway, he pardoned some big shot in the cryptocurrency world, where it turns out the Trump administration or the Trump family has some business connections.
And absolutely, this fellow is referred to as CZ. He is a billionaire. He's the founder of this cryptocurrency exchange called Binance. And the thing that strikes me, and I think other people, both inside and outside law enforcement, this is not someone who made some modest false statements on some documents reporting to the government what his funding was or what the income was. This is a fellow engaged in rampant money laundering. That is no small thing. Way back in 2023, he served 4 months, probably a very light sentence to begin with. And we get then this representation that this is in the interest of reversing the Biden animosity toward cryptocurrency. We're now opening up our nation to that. Caroline Leavitt says the Biden administration's war on crypto is now over. It's not a war on crypto, Caroline. It's a war on crime. And that's what it was. That's what this fellow did. He got a very light sentence. And now, as you're saying, Pat, it is obviously clear that he did this and got this a huge benefit from the president because of his connections with the family. President, once again, reminded, I'm sure your listeners know this, this is one of those things James Madison put in the Constitution, completely unchecked. No yes. capacity to push back on this at all.
No checking whatsoever. And as noted by Tommy Vitor from PodSave America, Binance willingly failed to report transactions on its platform by Al-Qaeda, ISIS, jeez, Hamas, and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. But then Trump's crypto company made a multi-billion dollar deal in partnership with Binance. And so Trump gave the founder of Binance a pardon. And he says, shockingly brazen corruption. Well, Mark, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. It's brazen corruption. It should be shocking. It's, I don't know that anybody really covered this in the past day or two.
No, well, not enough. But I mean, I just wonder whether there's a price list for pardon somewhere. You know, whether,
could be,
I mean, and the thing that's really frightening about Trump, as he's not, it's really better to not view him and the Republicans as a political movement. Viewing them as an organized crime ring is better. You understand better what's going on here, because you know Trump clearly is giving pardons to people who benefit his own family's personal business, just in this case. And he keeps on announcing these kind of minor aid packages for different states, you know, states that he is that have disasters. And he always mentions whether the state voted for him in past elections.
Yes.
And the signal's clear that if you vote for him, you're going to get money from the federal government. If you don't vote for him, we're going to cancel all the aid. And he's in the process of doing that during the shutdown. He's cutting all this stuff to blue states. So he's not the president for the entire people. He's really is just a crime boss.
He thinks he's getting away with it. But Jennifer, you know, you and others have taken note that it's one thing to funnel money from, you know, to your friends and away from your perceived foes. But at the same time, as you noted yesterday, your healthcare premiums are going to be going up like 500% so that Trump can use taxpayer funds to do things like, you know, build concentration camps for migrants. People can connect those dots. Nope. Did you mute yourself there, Jennifer? We're having a tough time hearing you. There we go. Okay, go ahead, Jennifer.
70% of Americans think that the ACA subsidies should be extended. And so that tells me right there that people are aware and ticked off about what's happening. And it isn't just the ACA subsidies. Healthcare premiums are going up across the board. People are getting those notices now. And I think it is going to be just a devastating thing to people across the board. And we just don't fully understand how bad it's going to be. And Republicans don't seem really to be interested in that. And I do think it vindicates the Democrat strategy of saying that they were fighting over this government shutdown about the healthcare subsidies. This is really going to hurt people in untold ways.
Yes, but people are at least seeing these things.
Oh,
and,
absolutely. Yeah.
And that thing, they can connect the dots. They can see the yes. price increases going up. They can see that there's a president that is instead taking, you know, demolition crews to the White House. But there's still the other things that they can't see. And Jim, I wanted you to talk briefly about the shadow docket,
yes.
which again is another way for the Supreme Court to make what are supposed to be emergency rulings that don't require, you know, a big lengthy dissertation with the legal reasoning. But the Brennan Center put out an updated tracker this week with a large number of cases, significant cases, where the orders were given on the shadow docket without any real legal reasoning. It's just so authoritarian, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. And it's also a departure. A little statistic here, which the Brennan Center may or may not have noted. Two terms of both Obama and Bush, 16 years, that entire period of time, those two administrations petitioned the Supreme Court for emergency relief a whopping eight times, and the Supreme Court granted them four. In his first term, Donald Trump sought relief in this way 40 times, and now obviously he's on the record, he's moving in that direction once again. And note that these are, as you said, Pat, these are not small ticket items. These are everything from funding of academic institutions to NIH grants. It is overseas funding. And the one that you especially look to is a case that they've now put on the merits docket, which is a situation where they do, in fact, think about these things and have oral argument and have petitions and memorandums written by the attorneys, all those kinds of things, is this case involving the FTC commissioner. 90 years ago, the Supreme Court said, you can't terminate people who are part of independent agencies. It's a case called Humphrey's Executor. Encourage your listeners to keep that in mind. It appears that the Supreme Court is about to overturn that. At that time, telling FDR, you can't do this. Now, 2025, 2026, it appears the Supreme Court is about to overturn Humphrey's Executor and give this president, again, on the merits docket, following the shadow docket, this complete authority. It is a wild ride through a lack of explanation. There's no transparency. Americans should demand more. John Roberts, once again, what are you doing? What are you doing?
And if they don't, then Mark, at least they coming back from the things they can't see to the things they can see. Prices, for example, the consumer price index number just came out. It rose 3% from a year earlier. So that's inflation is accelerating slightly in numbers that were delayed because of the government shutdown. But again, people note the price tags, Mark. This still has plenty of opportunity to come back and bite Trump in the bottom between now and the midterms.
Yeah. Oh, no question. I'm surprised that the impact of the tariffs isn't worse. And I think that part of it is that Trump has pressured corporations to eat some of the what they pay, you know. And it's not foreign countries, you know, as Trump, you know, lied for a long time saying foreign countries are going to pay the tariffs. No, they're not. American corporations are paying them and American consumers are paying them.
Yeah.
But it's not, but it hasn't been as much on consumers yet. I think they're trying to hold the line so they don't get abused by Trump, but that's got to end at some point.
Yes, sir. We can review panel.
Well, I mean, we're going to see it. The thing, Pat, is that because of the shutdown and because Mark. Trump doesn't like government statistics, we may not see too many more, you know, very quickly.
Okay. Thank you, Mark Jacob, Jim Semtel, Jennifer Schulze. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley since 1972, offering comprehensive eye care services. Their doctors also share a special interest in treating chronic dry eye disease, providing specialty contact lenses, and expert pediatric eye care. Find Insight Eye Care on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Improving lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Insight Eye Care. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines, and it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant, but environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Oh, with the sun coming up later, I finally got a chance to take a gander outside, and the lawn is just all frosty. And it's a little foggy out there, so that could translate into some freezing fog and some slippery bridge decks and ramps. So take it easy if you haven't been on the roads yet out there. One last go around with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. And I was mentioning before, you know, people are picking up on inflation. They're also picking up on, you know, the loss of benefits coming through the big bloated boondoggle. And my latest article on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, is called Weaponizing Red Tape: How Wisconsin Families on SNAP Could Go Hungry Soon. And yet you look at the comments under it on social media already, Jennifer, and so much of the commentary is, well, you know, these are all lazy people who, you know, need to get a job, blah, blah, blah. Never mind that we're in full employment. And I noted that you put up a post from one of my favorite posters out there who said, just a thought, how about we stop shaming the poor for buying things that may not be essential and start shaming the rich for making a profit off things that are essential? I don't know if we're making that point yet, but I feel like a corner is there to be turned.
I think the shaming of poor people is an ongoing problem in the country, and it's only made worse with the Trump administration. You know, there are people who, for a lot of reasons, can't work can't afford basic needs. And we are a big, rich country, and we ought to be able to help them. And you saw it in the Medicaid debate where, well, they're just, you know, young men sitting on in their mother's basement playing video games, not working. And the fact is, that's not true. None of that is true. People aren't cheating. They're not skirting working. They're really, truly people in need. And the idea that we're pretending otherwise as a political talking point is so offensive to me. I cannot stand it.
Mm-hmm. Jim, one of the stories you're following is that Trump is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to review deployment of the Illinois National Guard. What's happening there? And then we're going to check out the militarization of Chicago from Mark's standpoint. But what's happening in court, Jim?
Right. This comes out of the Seventh Circuit, which we talked about last week. This is the Seventh Circuit basically upholding the lower court's decision, saying you can't deploy them. They can hang around, but they should not go in. The Seventh Circuit says, you know what? Right there in Chicago, where Jennifer and Mark are, that's not an insurrection. There's no rebellion going on, it turns out there. The Seventh Circuit says, nope, you're wrong about this, Mr. President. And he, of course, through our Department of Justice, your Department of Justice, now seeking review of that before the United States Supreme Court, would plainly also impact other cities. They haven't yet granted review of that, but plainly they are certainly looking at this seriously. And again, what a dramatic thing that would be if the Supreme Court says, yes, indeed, this president now even has the power to deploy the National Guard, contrary to what governors want, and can do it in a situation where you have, as the judges have said in other places, sticks and stones, some violence, but nowhere near an insurrection. Not is that the next thing that's coming out of our Supreme Court? Maybe
well,
so.
And what makes it so weird, Mark, is these are the people that for decades told us they are against an overbearing federal government. And it's all about states' rights. And a governor should be able to stand in the schoolhouse door, basically. They sure seem to have flipped real quick now that they have power of the whole federal government to want a big federal government.
Right. It makes you wonder whether they believed any of the things they were saying in the past, of course. You know, the thing that people need to understand, if you live in Chicago, you know this, but the federal government at this point under Trump is bringing violence to big cities. It's not solving violence. It's not preventing violence. It is bringing violence. It's tear gassing people in neighborhoods. It's tackling people who are just standing there watching as their neighbors are being dragged away. I mean, people need to understand what's going on here. And it is that the federal government is persecuting the city of Chicago. And, you know, and the only thing good about this, in my mind, is that people in Chicago aren't taking it. And
no, they are not.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of community groups who are like passing out whistles. There's these whistle brigades now where if you see ICE, you will, you know, blow the whistle to warn your neighbors. We like immigrants in Chicago. We want them. They help make Chicago better. And we don't need Trump persecuting immigrants in our city. They're our neighbors. They make things better here. They don't make things worse. And so we're just totally offended by this and feel like we're being persecuted by the federal government.
And Jennifer, you've made note that local media there had been doing a good job of covering the deployment and the issues involved. Do you find that that's still the case?
I do. I also want to add, my husband and I went to Little Village, one of the neighborhoods that's been really hit hard by ICE, especially in the last couple of days. We went there last night for dinner to help support the community. And I have to say, it was a terrible sight. Restaurants that are normally open and thriving were all closed. And this is at 6 o'clock at night. The streets were empty. I mean, it was really terrible. And Trump is doing that to America. It was like COVID. We did find a place that was open. There were barely any people in there. Of course, the folks that were working there were happy to see us. But Trump is doing that to Chicago on purpose. As Mark said, we've got crime. We're a big city. Things happen. But it is not out of control. Trump's forces are making it out of control. They are tear gassing people. They are getting people are hiding in their homes. It was just a really depressing sight for me. And I want to go back this weekend and help support those businesses again, because it's really terrible what Trump's doing to them.
Well, yeah, it really is an invasion. They talk about, you know, that you know, migration, migrants are the invasion. No, the invasion is actually coming from, you know, a big government that is out of control. Jennifer yes. Schulze, catch what she does on Substack. Search for News Jennifer. Mark Jacob has the Stop the Presses newsletter, stopthepresses.news. Jim Santel will have Amicus, a law review tomorrow morning at 9 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks to all three of you. Have a good start to the weekend.
You too.
Take care, everybody.
All right. When we come back, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here, and we'll also talk to Mike Clemens talking about sports and a story about a viral tweet that he finally got to ask Aaron Rodgers about. That's coming up after the news. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Overnight, President Trump abruptly announced he was terminating all trade talks with Canada over a television ad put out by Ontario's government that used 1987 audio from President Ronald Reagan's radio address criticizing tariffs.
Sometimes for a short while it works, but only for a short time.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze is at the White House.
President Trump calling the ad fake, and the Reagan Presidential Library posting last night that it misrepresents the presidential address, and the government of Ontario did not get permission to use it. There is no response yet this morning from Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney.
This is day 24 of the government shutdown. Federal workers will be missing their first full paycheck since it began. This hour, we're getting new inflation numbers. Those will be used to set Social Security adjustments for the next year. Satellite images now show the entire east wing of the White House is gone, torn down to make room for the 90,000-square-foot Trump ballroom. This is ABC News.